This is the March 2025 edition of Review, the Journal of Blind Veterans UK. VE Day 80 celebrations at Petwood Hotel. This special event, marking the 80th anniversary of the end of the war in Europe, offers a unique chance to share memories, celebrate together, enjoy a delicious buffet, and explore the Second World War vehicles and equipment on display, courtesy of the Military Vehicle Trust. We'll also have a 1940s DJ and singer providing entertainment throughout. Mark your calendars and get ready for a military event to remember. Don't miss out on this unique opportunity to savour our military traditions. Please note, this event is free to registered members. Venue: Stixwood Road, Woodhall Spa, LN10 6QG. Ballot tickets. Due to the expected high level of interest, members expressing their interest to attend will be chosen via a random ballot. Deadline. The deadline to register interest is the 7th of March 2025. We will let you know if you've been successful via email, letter or phone call by Wednesday the 19th of March. Please note, letters may take slightly longer. You can find out more and register your interest by visiting blindveterans.org.uk/events/VEday-80-celebrations-petwood-hotel or by calling us on 0300 111 2233. A difficult proposal. A message from your chair, Barry Coop. By the time you hear this, you will hopefully have received a letter from me explaining the difficult proposal that the board has had to make to end our activity at our Llandudno Centre. As explained in my letter, this has not been an easy proposal to make. Unfortunately, in terms of the charity's finances, the risk of doing nothing is simply no longer viable. In fact, if we were to do nothing and carry on spending more than £10 million per year than we bring in, then it would not be long before we'd have to start the process to fold Blind Veterans UK. I believe it has been right for our charity to have a period of drawing down on our reserves in the past, as this has enabled us to support as many blind veterans as possible. As the National Service generation reached an age where sight loss was more likely, we needed to be there for them. However, most important now is to ensure that this wonderful charity is still here to support all of you who need us today, as well as those who need us in the future. Of course, I'm aware that many of you will be finding the news unsettling and will have many questions about the proposal. For this reason, we have put together a comprehensive question and answer, which you will hear later in this issue of Review. As it says in my letter, if you have any further questions or concerns, please do email us at memberinfo, that's all one word, memberinfo@blindveterans.org.uk, or call 0300 111 2233 in the first instance. Your caseworker is also ready to support you as needed, and as more information becomes available, both myself and Adrian, when he returns, will be sure to share this with you as quickly as possible. Later in Review, you will hear an article that clearly demonstrates just how important it is for us to make sure we are here for the future, about our fully funded work with the World Health Organization, passing on our expertise to Ukrainian health professionals. The changing nature of modern warfare means that right now, it's expected that any future British servicemen and women engaged in combat would, sadly, be far more likely to suffer from ocular injuries than in previous conflicts. This has played out in Ukraine, likely due to drone attacks, so we need to be prepared. I would like to end by assuring you all of my commitment to this charity, the charity that enabled my war-blinded father to live the most fulfilling and successful life. I can assure you that your Board of Trustees will do all we can to ensure Blind Veterans UK will transform many more lives into the future. News. Sign up to our monthly e-newsletter. Did you know you can receive all the latest member news, announcements and opportunities for you and your family in your email inbox every month? Whether you're a member, a family member or a carer, all you need to do is visit the member area on our website at blindveterans.org.uk/member-updates and sign up. Simple. Annual Member Conference 2025. We are pleased to invite you to the Blind Veterans UK Member Conference 2025 on the 22nd and the 23rd of May. The conference, led by our Chief Executive, Adrian Bell, will give you the chance to share your thoughts, feedback and ideas on important decisions regarding our future strategy. At the same time, you will be able to get together with your fellow members and meet senior staff from across the charity. Accommodation will be provided on the 22nd of May. Due to expected high levels of interest, members expressing their interest to attend this event will be chosen via a random ballot. And the venue is Aston Conference Centre, Aston University, Birmingham, B47ET. You can register your interest at blindveterans.org.uk/events/annual-member-conference-2025. Or by calling us on 0300 111 2233. Birmingham Military Tattoo. The 2025 Birmingham Military Tattoo was a spectacular celebration of military pageantry, featuring massed marching bands, pipes and drums, thrilling displays and an impressive field gun competition. Over 1,200 performers took part, culminating in the stunning grand finale. Among those proudly representing their organisations, member Wayne Perry served as a standard bearer in this prestigious event. Also, a small group of blind veterans and their guests attended and had a fantastic time enjoying the music, displays and the camaraderie of this unforgettable occasion. Revision to last month's edition, Jamie Weller. In our previous edition, we incorrectly stated the date of passing of blind veteran Jamie Weller. We sincerely regret this error and appreciate the opportunity to correct the record. Jamie Weller passed away in the year 2024, not in 2023, as was stated in the title of his obituary piece in the February review. We apologise for any distress this may have caused and will take extra care to ensure such errors do not happen again in the future. We extend our deepest condolences to Jamie's family and friends. Thank you for your understanding. In your community, just some of the social gatherings that have taken place across the country over the last month, bringing together members in their local areas. In Sutton, the Sutton Social Group celebrated member Den's 99th birthday. He turned 99 on the 12th of January. Den has been described by his peers in the social group as inspiring, enduring, independent, enigmatic, and indefatigable. Den and the rest of the gang celebrated with cake, gifts and a good laugh with friends. We hope Den had a wonderful day, shared with his blind veteran peers, volunteers and staff. In Ferryhill, our fabulous Ferryhill group met up for a packed day of activities. They played a game of Guess the Phrase, tried a few chair exercises, enjoyed a game of axe dart throwing, and ended with a hearty meal to send them all on their way home happy. In Lanarkshire, Community One were delighted to be invited to the Burns Lunch at the Veterans Community Lanarkshire Hub today. Delayed a week due to the red alert weather warning from Storm Ewan, it was well worth the wait. We had poems, a piper, and of course the haggis served with urn brew. The hub provides support for all veterans and helps signpost organisations who can provide support for our members. In Middlesbrough, the Middlesbrough Social Group came together for a delightful gathering filled with laughter, camaraderie and a touch of friendly competition. The highlight of the event was an engaging round of the classic Guess the Phrase game, an activity that, while seemingly simple on paper, proved to be an entertaining challenge for all involved. This was an opportunity for members to reconnect, share stories and enjoy each other's company in a warm and welcoming atmosphere. Do you want to know what's going on in your local area? Contact your local community team, who can tell you everything you need to know. A tapestry of emotions. We gear up for the 80th anniversary of VE Day on the 8th of May, with the vivid memories and reflections of four of our ex-service women who lived through the war. After almost 6 years of brutal war, Germany finally surrendered to the Allies and Europe erupted into jubilant celebrations. But for many women, the day was a tapestry of emotions, blending relief and joy with reflection on the profound changes the war had wrought in their lives. As we mark International Women's Day this month, four members remember the day. Janet's childhood recollections. Janet, who was 7 years old on VE Day, recalls the duality of excitement and fear during the war years in London. The frequent bombings meant nights in garden shelters, which she found adventurous, though she acknowledges how terrifying it must have been for her parents. On VE Day, Janet remembers being woken up by her mother. She says, "I got woken up and my mum put a scarf over my head as I had curlers in. We marched around the street. There was singing. But mostly I remember I was so embarrassed that I had curlers in my hair and that people would see them. A subsequent street party saw neighbours pulling their rations to create a festive atmosphere, complete with homemade hats and shared treats. The sense of community and collective relief was palpable." Nancy's mixed emotions. At 103, Nancy reflects on her time in the Auxiliary Territorial Service, where she served from 1942 and was later commissioned as an officer. Stationed at a gun site in Swansea, her VE Day was devoid of the typical celebrations. "I don't remember much about VE Day itself. We were told of celebrations in London and that people were drinking, dancing and singing. But for us on the gun site, we knew it meant no more work. VE Day was a day of mixed emotions for me. No drinking and laughter, but instead planning in my head and trying to work out what to do next." For Nancy and many women, the war had provided a newfound sense of purpose and independence. Its end brought uncertainty about the future and a contemplation of the roles they would assume in peacetime. Peggy's quiet contemplation. Peggy, then 23, worked as a linguist for the Women's Royal Naval Service, intercepting German radio traffic. For her, VE Day was marked by introspection rather than festivity. She spent the day with a friend, reflecting on the years lost and the uncertain path ahead. In her diary, she noted, "Yes, the war is over, but the agony has been so prolonged that it's rather an anti-climax." Evelyn's unbridled joy. Conversely, Evelyn, who joined the Auxiliary Territorial Service seeking adventure, described VE Day as one of the finest days of my life. For her, the day was a culmination of years of service and sacrifice, celebrated with unrestrained joy. She vividly remembers we danced, cheered, waved, laughed, cried, and sang our hearts out between Piccadilly Circus and Leicester Square, hugging and being hugged, kissing and being kissed over and over again. A complex tapestry of emotions. VE Day elicited a spectrum of responses from women across the nation. While some revelled in the hard-won victory, others faced it with contemplation, aware of the personal and societal transformations that lay ahead. Their experiences underscore the multifaceted impact of the war and the resilience of the women who lived through it. As we commemorate the 80th anniversary of VE Day, it's essential to honour these diverse narratives, recognising the profound contributions and sacrifices of women during the war and the complex emotions that accompanied its end. Your VE Day 80. On 8th of May 1945, revellers filled the pubs and danced in the streets, rejoicing at the news they had long been waiting and hoping for. Victory in Europe. And now it's your turn. Over the coming weeks, as we mark 80 years since this historic event, we'll be running our special campaign, After the Darkness, featuring some of our remarkable Second World War veterans. From the overwhelming reliefs to the highs and lows that unfolded, each one has a powerful story to tell. Take D-Day veteran Thomas, for example. On leave in England when peace was declared, he remembers the street party with cakes and lemonade for the children. What's more, he still has the photograph to prove it. Then there's Alice, who worked at Bletchley Park on the famous code-breaking machines. Thrilled to finally see the back of those dreaded night shifts, she and her friends danced along the corridor with joy. Meanwhile, Derek, who is featured on the front cover of Review magazine, was taken as a prisoner of war after being shot down in Italy. Liberated just before VE Day, after being forced to march across Europe in deep snow, he remembers finally arriving home to his ecstatic and relieved mother. Get involved. Could you hang the bunting in their honour and recreate the VE Day atmosphere in your local school or social club? We're calling on everyone to take inspiration from these stories and find creative, fun ways to raise vital funds to make sure all our members get the support they so deserve. Visit blindveterans.org.uk/VE Day Get Involved. And that VE Day Get Involved is all one word. To sign up for more information, alternatively, you can contact our community partnerships team by emailing fundraising@blindveterans.org.uk or requesting a callback via our telephone number 0300 111 2233. Our role in Ukraine's vision rehabilitation. In response to increasing eye injuries on the battlefield, Blind Veterans UK is leading an initiative to impart specialist expertise to Ukrainian rehabilitation professionals. In response to the escalating number of traumatic eye injuries resulting from the ongoing conflict in Ukraine, Blind Veterans UK has spearheaded a collaborative initiative to share the UK's extensive expertise in vision rehabilitation with Ukrainian health and education professionals. This effort, fully funded by the World Health Organization with support from the British government, aims to enhance Ukraine's capacity to address the surge in vision impairments caused by the war. Over a two-week period, Blind Veterans UK, in partnership with 17 organisations, including RNIB, Guide Dogs and the Royal National College for the Blind, organised a comprehensive showcase of sight loss services. The Ukrainian delegation was introduced to various aspects of vision rehabilitation, encompassing independent living training, employment support, and the intricacies of service funding and charity collaborations. Dr. Jarmo Habich, who Ukraine country office representative emphasised the critical need for such initiatives, saying, "War often causes complex injuries which can result in partial or total vision loss. Ukraine rehabilitation professionals must have the skills and competencies to address these injuries as part of comprehensive rehabilitation services across the continuum of care." The delegation also had the opportunity to hear from one of our members, Simon, who lost his sight during the Iraq War. Reflecting on his journey, Simon shared, "When I found out that I'd lost my sight, my world fell apart. I'd lost my career, my job, and my future. The most important thing for me at that time was to be convinced to keep moving forward. Otherwise, I would have struggled to engage with my rehabilitation journey. That's the main thing that I wanted to communicate to the Ukrainian delegation." Philippa, National Rehabilitation Services Lead at Blind Veterans UK and coordinator of the project, highlighted the broader implications of this collaboration, saying, "The complexity and nature of injuries incurred through modern warfare are different from those we have seen in recent years. This project is providing us with valuable insights into the effects of modern weaponry on individuals. Lessons learned from this process will ensure that we are ready to support the needs of British armed forces as and when needed in the future." This initiative not only strengthens Ukraine's rehabilitation capabilities, but also enriches Blind Veterans UK understanding and preparedness to support vision impaired veterans in the future. Giving back, Bernie's story. Member and former standard bearer, Bernie Meehan, shares his experience and explains why it has led him to leave a gift in his will to Blind Veterans UK. "I joined the Army Foundation College at Harrogate in 1968 and then completed my colour service in 1992, serving in West Germany, Northern Ireland, Belize, Denmark and Scotland. After 24 years of service, adapting to civilian life was tough for both my wife and me. She was used to a mapped out life and suddenly everything was uncertain. I was frustrated with the work attitude in civilian life. It was so different from the military. In uniform, we all pitched in and got things done. But in my new job, people often said tasks weren't their job or took breaks instead of helping. Looking for a better fit, I joined the Officer Training Corps, now the Army Reserve, and served for 5 years. A new opportunity in Manchester led me to the non-regular permanent staff of the 40 Single Squad, where I served for 13 years and achieved the rank of Staff Sergeant. In total, I dedicated 43 years to service. Sadly, I was medically discharged in 2009 after a stroke left me blind. The stroke caused a 92% blockage in the main artery at the base of my brain, leading to a clot that cut off blood flow to my occipital lobe. The hospital didn't think I'd survive. I went blind overnight. My wife Wendy and I were in shock, knowing it was permanent. It was a huge adjustment. At the eye clinic in St Helens, I was introduced to Blind Veterans UK. That was a turning point. It made me realise I wasn't alone and that we had a future. Wendy and I felt like we were still part of a military family. Even after a second stroke at the Llandudno Centre in 2015, we knew we could manage. We wanted to give something back, but we didn't know how, until we read about leaving a gift in your will in the Review magazine. We realised that this is how we can leave something to make a difference. So now we're doing the same thing by writing here, in the hope that you'll also consider leaving a gift. The reason we've left a gift in our will is because we hope that future veterans can have their lives changed, just like us veterans today. If you would like to find out how to join Bernie and Wendy in leaving a gift, or use our free will writing service, call Alice on 020 7616 7923 or email giftsinwills, that's all one word, giftsinwills at blindveterans.org.uk. A proposal to end our activity at Llandudno. We answer your important questions. We know that many of you will have strong feelings and many questions about the reasons for the recent proposal made by our Board of Trustees. To help provide some clarity, we have pulled together a number of answers to questions you might have about the proposal to close the Llandudno Centre for our members' use. Why are Blind Veterans UK proposing a change? We must transform how we work to make us sustainable and make sure we're here to support current and future blind veterans for as long as needed. If we do not drastically reduce the charity's annual expenditure to match our annual income in the coming years, the charity will cease to exist. This is why we are proposing ending our charitable activity at our Llandudno Centre. This will start to get the charity back on a sustainable financial footing. It will also allow us to reshape how we work to provide the support that our blind veterans need. This proposed option is based on two facts. Firstly, we will not be able to reach financial sustainability by continuing to run two centres. And secondly, there is no longer the demand from our members to justify maintaining two centres. What is the proposal? A recommendation has been made by our Board of Trustees that supports a proposal to repurpose the Llandudno Centre and move delivery of all centre-based member services to the Rustington Centre. The proposal reflects a long-term trend of falling demand from members to use our centres, which means that we no longer need two centres. In real terms, our review shows that even if we saw an increase in centre demand from members, we would still be able to accommodate this through a single centre. From asking our blind veterans in regular surveys, we also know that the vast majority prefer the option of having our services delivered at home or remotely. Operating from a single centre will significantly reduce the charity's operational expenditure, which is an important first step in getting us back to a sustainable financial footing. What does repurposing mean for the Llandudno Centre? If a decision is made to take this proposal forward, the likely outcome will see an immediate cease in delivery of all current services to members visiting the Llandudno Centre, likely to be in April 2025. Whilst a longer-term decision is taken on what Blind Veterans UK would do with the vacant building, the charity has begun exploring potential opportunities to sell, lease, or use the building for commercial purposes. No recommendations or decisions have been taken on this yet. What does this mean for staff based in the Llandudno Centre? All employees who work within the Llandudno Centre will be taken through a collective consultation process and placed at risk of redundancy. What do I do if I have a booking to stay at Llandudno? It would not be fair on our staff team at Llandudno to go through the consultation process while running a business as usual service. Because of this, while we consider this proposal, we will not be able to accommodate any member stays at Llandudno during this time. All members who are due to stay at Llandudno throughout this time will be contacted to arrange alternative options, including transferring their stay to Rustington. Why the Llandudno Centre and not Rustington? The Board of Trustees are proposing ceasing our centre activity at Llandudno rather than Rustington because our analysis has shown that Rustington is more suited to support members' needs moving forward. It has been recently built as a bespoke centre for blind veterans of varying needs, for example, having ground floor rooms and greater accessibility. Who can I talk to if I have further questions? We recognise that this may be an unsettling time for our members. If you have any questions that are not answered here, then please email memberinfo, that's all one word, memberinfo at blindveterans.org.uk or telephone 0300 111 2233. Your caseworker is always here to support you as needed too, and as more information becomes available, we will be sure to share this with you. Digital inclusion at your service. Our digital inclusion team outlines the process they have put in place to make sure you get all the support you need and have a chance to practice and work at your own pace. Included in the recently published annual report was an update about the range of services provided, which made note of the digital inclusion team. We explain that members are supported by the digital inclusion team to overcome the barriers they face in accessing digital technologies and the internet, so they can independently manage their needs in the areas of daily living skills, emotional well-being, orientation and mobility, leisure and recreation, and connecting and communicating. But how do we go about delivering this, and what does the support entail? Firstly, who's in the team? The digital inclusion team is currently made up of 8 staff. There are 7 technology practitioners: Amandine, Dave, David, Hugh, Nikki, Paul and Scott, and team leader Andrew. We work in coordination with the wider Blind Veterans UK team to support you, the members. What type of services does digital inclusion provide? We identify devices such as smartphones, accessibility features and software that can help you access the digital world to support your individual goals. We help configure your devices so they work effectively. We provide rehabilitation training and teach you techniques to input, navigate and access information on smart devices and computers. We provide opportunities for you to practice and reinforce your skills with support on hand. And we also forward details of ongoing and ad hoc support, such as Blind Veterans UK Member Support Hub, local services, websites and technology helplines. How do you access the digital inclusion team for support? You can contact the Member Support Hub, speak to a member of staff or volunteer, or discuss your goals during an assessment. Your details are then passed to us, which begins the process of intervention. We discuss each new intervention and problem-solving potential solutions that may be effective for you, and then allocate you to the most appropriate team member. The team member will then contact you to begin the support. How do we deliver this work? We do this by utilising a rehabilitation model. Here's a general overview of how rehabilitation works. All interventions start with an initial discussion between you and the team member and includes the areas outlined below. Of course, all our work is individualised, so may cover a lot more than the following. Helping identify your goals by discussing what is important to you in terms of interests, responsibilities, passions, motivations, the future aims. Evaluation of current experience and ability with technology. Which technologies do you use or have used in the past? Which technologies do friends and families use? What are your favourite or most used applications and websites? Impact of other factors that are important to you. Are there other health conditions that need to be factored in? Do you have caring responsibilities, employment, etc.? What is your Wi-Fi mobile network coverage like? What's your preferred learning style? Availability for sessions and motivation to learn. These initial discussions lead to how we will best support you, agreeing the solutions and practically how we will provide the rehabilitation. Any rehabilitation is delivered using a hybrid approach of tele-rehabilitation, which is generally over the phone, face-to-face in your home, or a combination. We will communicate and agree the plan with you before we start. Generally, an intervention will run over several weeks with regular sessions planned of approximately 1 hour. The team will always work at your pace and give you plenty of opportunity to ask questions, go over areas again, and have a chance to practice. What are the main areas and devices we are currently supporting members with? Many of you are using smart devices and computers to communicate with friends and family, research areas of interest online, and access audiobooks, banking, and word processing. Many use iPhones, iPads, Android phones and tablets, smart speakers and PCs. If you have any goals you think could be supported with technology, or questions about how you can best utilise the technology to meet your current goals, please get in touch by telephoning 0300 112 233, or by email at mesh@blindveterans.org.uk. What to do if you notice changes in your vision? It can be tempting to ignore changes in your vision, but it's important to get even seemingly minor issues checked out. By following these steps, you can get the help you need. Your eyesight is precious, and any changes, whether gradual or sudden, shouldn't be ignored. Early detection or vision issues can make a significant difference in treatment and long-term eye health. It's equally as important to continue monitoring and testing your eyesight after a diagnosis of a condition or an eye injury. Recognising the signs. Common warning signs include blurry vision, difficulty reading, double vision, eye pain, or seeing flashes of light. Sudden vision loss, even if temporary, requires immediate medical attention. Those who already have a diagnosis of an eye condition or have obtained an eye injury may already experience these things. Keeping track of what is common for you to experience and note any changes or sudden differences in the vision you have. Headaches, head and face pains and dizziness can also be indicators of changes or complications to pre-existing eye conditions and should be noted with your optometrist. Take action. If you notice any changes, schedule an appointment with an optometrist or your own specialist as soon as possible. If symptoms are severe, contact your GP or NHS 111 for urgent advice, or go straight to accident and emergency at your local hospital. Get regular checkups. Even if your vision hasn't changed in years, or you already have a diagnosis of a condition, routine eye tests, typically every 2 years, help catch problems early or further complications with current eye conditions or injuries. Those with diabetes, a family history of eye disease, or other risk factors may need more frequent checks. Regular eye tests after sight loss can help monitor any remaining vision, detect underlying conditions like glaucoma or infections, and assess overall eye health. Eye exams can also reveal other eye health issues, such as diabetes or high blood pressure. If you use visual aids or prosthetics, an eye test can also help ensure that they remain effective and comfortable. Maintaining eye health is crucial, even without functional sight. Member voice. Our member engagement and military lead, Tim Eckersley, shares your latest news and updates. Sign up for our member conference 2025. We are holding another member conference this year to give you the opportunity to engage with the senior leadership team in an environment that promotes questioning, feedback, and listening during an important time regarding our future strategy. The conference will be held between the 22nd and 23rd of May at Aston Conference Centre, Birmingham, B47ET, where accommodation will be provided for the evening of 22nd May. Please register your interest at blindveterans.org.uk/conference25 or telephone us on 0300 111 2233. VE80 celebrations at Petwood Hotel. Our VE80 celebrations, remembering victory in Europe 1945, offers a unique experience to share memories, celebrate together, enjoy a delicious buffet, and explore the Second World War vehicles and equipment on display, courtesy of the Military Vehicle Trust. The event takes place on the 8th of May at Petwood Hotel, Woodhall Spa, Lincolnshire, LN10 6QG. To register your interest, please visit blindveterans.org.uk/events/VE-day-80-celebrations-Petwood-hotel. National Events Programme Fixtures 2025. VE80 celebrations at Petwood Hotel, Lincolnshire on the 8th of May. Annual Members Conference in Birmingham on the 22nd and 23rd of May. Military Dinner celebrating D-Day 80 at Fareham on the 6th of June. Military Dinner at the Royal Welsh, Cardiff on the 4th of July. Military Dinner at Catterick Garrison, North Yorkshire, date to be confirmed. And Military Dinner at HMS Drake, Plymouth on the 10th of October. Military Dinner at RAF Honington, Bury St Edmunds on the 31st of October. And Remembrance Evening Dinner at the Victory Services Club, London on the 8th of November. Founders Day Awards 2025. To nominate a member, carer or volunteer for a Founders Day Award in 2025, reflecting the spirit, ethos and dedication shown by our founder, Sir Arthur Pearson, please visit blindveterans.org.uk/veteran-s-area-login/member-events-and-activities/nominate-a-member-4-a-founder-s-award. Military Sight Loss Champion Scheme. We continue to onboard serving personnel across the forces who are provided with the opportunity to fundraise, volunteer, host Blind Veterans UK within their establishment's mess, and download useful content around eye care, including resources. This is a fantastic opportunity as we continue to build our network within the forces community. Visit blindveterans.org.uk/support-us/military-sight-loss-champions to find out more about the scheme. Military anniversaries, the Iraq War, the Second Gulf War. UK forces were deployed into Iraq, supporting the American-led invasion on the 20th of March 2003. Operation Telic was given to all British military deployed, where over 46,000 servicemen and women were involved within the initial invasion, including over 5,000 reservists. British officially withdrew from Iraq in May 2011. A total of 179 British forces, or MOD civilians, died serving on Operation Telic, of which 136 were killed from hostile action. Give us your feedback. Have you attended a Blind Veterans UK event recently? We would like to know what you thought so we can improve our services and offer more of what you like. Our members, carers, or even our staff can now provide events feedback to us directly via the Blind Veterans UK website by using our simple online form at blindveterans.org.uk event-feedback. National Creative Programme. This month's VI-friendly creative activities you can take part in, all from the comfort of your own home. Here is the March programme of VI-friendly creative activities to take part in from home. Please telephone 01273 391 447 to leave a message on the NCP answer machine to request a project pack. You can also request a pack on the members area of the website. All projects come with VI-friendly instructions and the option of audio instructions on a USB stick or by email if you request it. Dragon Boat. We've loved hearing how some of you are getting on with this 141-piece model kit. We still have plenty left for those who haven't taken part yet. This ornamental boat will measure 28 centimetres high by 36 centimetres long and 16 centimetres wide when built, and the kit we send you comes with bespoke NCP graphic designed instructions with a step-by-step high contrast guide. Flower mosaic. In time for spring, this cheerful mosaic has been designed for you by the NCP with a step-by-step pattern. Your tiles will be sorted for you into labelled bags and you'll receive everything else you need in your kit. The base is 20 centimetres wide and the tiles are a cheerful spring mix of greens and pinks. Papercraft scrapbook. Following lovely feedback, we have designed this kit for you to make a papercraft and collage scrapbook. There's plenty of materials enclosed, which we hope will inspire you to use this scrapbook in your own unique way. There's a few specially chosen items in there for those members who take part with grandchildren and other little helpers. Surprise Seeds 2025 Outdoor Gardening. Following the success of 2024's gardening project, designed and provided by the late Jim Long, this project is back again in his memory, supported by Jim's son Mick. The varieties of seeds were picked out by Jim last year, and you will receive a pack of various seeds to try growing in your garden, such as lettuce, cabbage, and cauliflower. In this kit, you will receive separated seeds in labelled plastic bags and a hints and tips guide for planting them in your garden. Also available, watercolour pencils kit. Backed by popular demand with some hints and tips from member and watercolour artist Peter Murphy. Acrylic painting. We have a few acrylic painting kits left over containing 12 tubes of paint, paper, a canvas and a variety of brushes. Thank you for continuing to return your NCP surveys. They are so helpful and enable us to shape the service going forward. And thank you for all your suggestions for future projects. We'll be looking to make some of these a reality in 2025. We always love hearing from you, whether it's to share photographs, feedbacks, or just have a chat about your crafting activities. Please don't hesitate to get in touch via ncwt@blindveterans.org.uk. Quiz time. Our quizmaster, Ron Russell, tests your general knowledge. There are 10 questions. I'll read each one out, leave a space, and then give you the answer. So, question number one. What is the name of the famous golf course of St Andrews in Scotland? A, the Royal and Ancient. B, the Royal and Old. C, the Royal and Youthful. The answer, A, the Royal and Ancient. Number two, what kind of baby animal would you find on the human body? And the answer, calves. Number three, what were the names of the Cray twins? And the answer, Ronnie and Reggie. Number four, which former actress became an MP? The answer, Glenda Jackson. Number five, the abbreviation BIZ is short for what word? And the answer, business. Number six, which of these titles is addressed as Milud? A, judge, B, duke, C, bishop. And the answer is A, judge. Number seven, what is James Bond's code name? And the answer, 007. Number eight, in what US state is the city Nashville? And the answer, Tennessee. Number nine, what was the old name for a Snickers bar before it changed in 1990? And the answer, Marathon. And the last question, question 10, what is the northernmost country in Africa? And the answer, Tunisia. Family news. Joan Home, who celebrates her 104th birthday on the 22nd of March. Marion Hibbins, who celebrates her 103rd birthday on the 26th of March. Peggy Harding, who celebrates her 103rd birthday on the 2nd of April. Arthur Lilly, who celebrates his 102nd birthday on the 5th of March. Margaret Winnie, who celebrates her 102nd birthday on the 14th of March. Mary Sayer, who celebrates her 101st birthday on the 10th of March. Gladys Goodridge, who celebrates her 101st birthday on the 2nd of April. Aviva Thwaites, who celebrates her 100th birthday on the 16th of March. Ronald Cox, who celebrates his 100th birthday on the 23rd of March. And Gwendoline Dangerfield, who celebrates her 100th birthday on the 29th of March. All birthday information was correct at the time of going to press. Condolences. It is with deep regret that we record the deaths of the following, and we offer our heartfelt condolences. Marion Jones, who died on the 1st of February 2025, she was the wife of Gerald Jones. Sheila Stanion, who died on the 25th of January 2025, she was the wife of Roy Stanion. In memory, it is with deep regret that we record the deaths of the following members, and we offer our heartfelt condolences to their widows, widowers, families and friends. Ronald Messer Anderson of Edinburgh died on the 18th of January 2025, aged 93. He served as a private in the Highland Brigade. Kenneth Arthurs of Rushden, Northamptonshire, died on the 12th of February 2025, aged 94. He served as an AC2 in the Royal Air Force. Wallace Beaumont of Wilmslow, Cheshire, died on the 1st of December 2024, aged 91. He served as a trooper in the Cheshire Regiment. Christopher Bensley of King's Lynn, Norfolk, died on the 26th of January 2025, aged 98. He served as a private in the National Fire Service. Lawrence Booth of Skegness, Lincolnshire, died on the 1st of January 2025, aged 85. He served as an SAC in the Royal Air Force. Donald Charles Bourne of Birmingham died on the 1st of January 2025, aged 97. He served as a private in the Royal Army Pay Corps. Neville Bowen of Ammanford Dyfed died on the 26th of January 2025, aged 102. He served as an acting able seaman in the Royal Navy. Donald Brown of Radstock died on the 4th of February 2025, aged 98. He served in the Somerset Light Infantry, Prince Albert's. William Cornelius Carroll of Glasgow died on the 1st of January 2025, aged 87. He served as an engineer in the Royal Engineers. Geoffrey William Caunt of Grantham, Lincolnshire, died on the 3rd of January 2025, aged 95. He served as a corporal in the Royal Signals. Peter John Cotter of Newton Abbot, Devon, died on the 28th of January 2025, aged 91. He served as an SAC in the Royal Air Force. John Robert Coutts of South Shields, Tyne and Wear, died on the 6th of February 2025, aged 80. He served as a sapper in the Royal Engineers. Leonard Croft of Thornton Cleveleys, Lancashire, died on the 12th of January 2025, aged 99. He served as a signalman in the Royal Signals. John Davis of Stamford, Lincolnshire, died on the 11th of January 2025, aged 100. He served as a flight lieutenant in the Royal Air Force. John Duckett of Ellesmere Port died on the 11th of January 2025, aged 88. He served as a private in the Cheshire Regiment. Royston Albert Durbin of Bristol died on the 10th of January 2025, aged 89. He served as a private in the Royal Engineers. Richard Evans of Chesterfield, Derbyshire, died on the 3rd of February 2025, aged 86. He served as an SAC in the Royal Air Force. George Lewis Evans of Dinas Powys, South Glamorgan, died on the 21st of January 2025, aged 88. He served as a major in the Welsh Guards. Arthur Hughes Evans of Bangor, Gwynedd, died on the 14th of January 2025, aged 91. He served as a flying officer in the Royal Air Force. Albert John Godfrey of Woodford Green, Essex, died on the 7th of February 2025, aged 87. He served as a sapper in the Royal Engineers. Anthony Joseph Greenwood of Ashton-under-Lyne, Lancashire, died on the 16th of January 2025, aged 86. He served in the Royal Engineers. Vivian Griffiths of Cardiff died on the 1st of January 2025, aged 97. He served as a corporal in the Wessex Brigade. Emmanuel Gripton of Wolverhampton died on the 1st of January 2025, aged 91. He served as a gunner in the Royal Artillery. Frank Willoughby Gross of Salisbury died on the 28th of January 2025, aged 103. He served as the Lieutenant Colonel in the Royal Artillery. Kenneth Edward Guest of Sittingbourne, Kent, died on the 9th of February 2025, aged 102. He served as a flight sergeant in the Royal Air Force. Douglas Hall of Rossendale, Lancashire, died on the 1st of February 2025, aged 90. He served as a sapper in the Royal Engineers. Peter Roland Harvey of Cardiff died on the 9th of February 2025, aged 87. He served as a junior technician in the Royal Air Force. William Hocking of Swansea died on the 17th of January 2025, aged 89. He served as a private in the Mobile Defence Corps. Samuel Hunter of Nottingham died on the 2nd of February 2025, aged 89. He served as an AC1 in the Royal Air Force. Clive Huntingford of Wellingborough, Northamptonshire, died on the 18th of January 2025, aged 70. He served as a petty officer in the Royal Navy. Michael Joseph Jackson of Birmingham, West Midlands, died on the 15th of November 2024, aged 90. He served as a senior aircraftsman in the Royal Air Force. Lancelot Jones of Seaford, East Sussex, died on the 27th of November 2024, aged 95. He served as a gunner in the Royal Artillery. William Laughling of Newmarket, Suffolk, died on the 13th of December 2024, aged 85. He served as a private in the Army Catering Corps. James Lanigan of Sunderland died on the 20th of January 2025, aged 98. He served as an able seaman in the Royal Navy. William Manby of Tarpawley, Cheshire, died on the 12th of January 2025, aged 87. He served as a sergeant in the Royal Engineers. Gerald Moorcroft of Manchester died on the 19th of January 2025, aged 90. He served as a gunner in the Royal Artillery. John Pickering of Wirral, Merseyside, died on the 17th of January 2025, aged 92. He served as a sergeant in the Royal Army Ordnance Corps. Sydney Pincher of Bridgewater, Somerset, died on the 3rd of January 2025, aged 89. He served as a Lieutenant Colonel in the Royal Army Ordnance Corps. George Pither of Birmingham, West Midlands, died on the 1st of February 2025, aged 92. He served as a private in the Royal Pioneer Corps. Brendan Protano of Winsford, Cheshire, died on the 31st of January 2025, aged 75. He served as a private in the Royal Army Ordnance Corps. Michael Ernest Rice of Blyth, Northumberland, died on the 1st of February 2025, aged 82. He served as a private in the King's Own Royal Border Regiment, 4th, 34th and 55th Foot. Christopher Bernard Ricketts of Polegate, East Sussex, died on the 19th of January 2025, aged 87. He served as a craftsman in the Royal Electrical and Mechanical Engineers. Frederick Joseph Smith of Liverpool died on the 16th of December 2024, aged 92. He served as a corporal in the Royal Signals. Andrew Paul Stowe of Mansfield, Nottinghamshire, died on the 12th of February 2025, aged 68. He served as a Chief Petty Officer in the Royal Navy. Christopher Strudwick of Sittingbourne, Kent, died on the 22nd of January 2025, aged 60. He served as a Guardsman in the Irish Guards. James Robertson Sutherland of Retford, Nottinghamshire, died on the 14th of January 2025, aged 96. He served as a corporal in the Royal Air Force. Lloyd Desmond Tarr of Taunton, Somerset, died on the 7th of February 2025, aged 93. He served as a corporal in the Army Catering Corps. Derek Taylor of Bingley, West Yorkshire, died on the 28th of January 2025, aged 89. He served as an aircraftman in the Royal Air Force. James Thompson of Birmingham died on the 9th of January 2025, aged 98. He served as a private in the South Staffordshire Regiment. David Thomas Thompson of Colchester, Essex, died on the 15th of January 2025, aged 87. He served as an able seaman in the Royal Navy. Anthony Tukey of Southport, Merseyside, died on the 16th of January 2025, aged 99. He served as a sergeant in the Royal Engineers. Alfred Tucker of Deal, Kent, died on the 24th of January 2025, aged 91. He served as a leading air mechanic in the Royal Navy. Raymond Reginald Unglis of Derby died on the 14th of January 2025, aged 92. He served as a leading seaman in the Royal Navy. Francis Walls of Maryport, Cumbria died on the 29th of January 2025, aged 89. He served in the Royal Army Service Corps. Gordon Walmsley of Hull, Yorkshire, died on the 31st of December 2024, aged 94. He served as a leading seaman in the Royal Navy. Brian Carter Wardell of Eastleigh, Hampshire, died on the 31st of January 2025, aged 103. He served as a flight lieutenant in the Royal Air Force. Thomas Owen Wardle of Gateshead, Tyne and Wear, died on the 20th of January 2025, aged 86. He served as a Lance Corporal in the Royal Signals. Ronald Arthur West of Plymouth died on the 14th of December 2024, aged 94. He served as an AC1 in the Royal Air Force. Frank Wilkinson of Skipton, North Yorkshire, died on the 1st of January 2025, aged 93. He served as a sapper in the Royal Engineers. Leonard Charles Williams of Farnham, Surrey, died on the 6th of February 2025, aged 95. He served as an AC-1 in the Royal Air Force. Edward Wilson of Congleton, Cheshire, died on the 28th of December 2024, aged 86. He served as a trooper in the Royal Army. Margaret Winnie of Reigate, Surrey, died on the 17th of January 2025, aged 101. She served as a leading Wren in the Women's Royal Naval Service. Max Woosey of St Helens, Merseyside, died on the 7th of February 2025, aged 88. He served as a sergeant in the Royal Military Police. Peter Robert John Wright of Leamington Spa, Warwickshire, died on the 17th of January 2025, aged 95. He served as an aircraftman first class in the Royal Air Force. And Marjorie Yeomans of Winchester, Hampshire, died on the 1st of February 2025, aged 95. She served as a Wren in the Women's Royal Naval Service. Did you know that we can set up online tribute pages for the loved ones of staff members and supporters? Find out more about setting up a tribute page at blindveteransuk.muchloved.org. Contact details. The contact address for Blind Veterans UK is 126 Fairlie, and that's spelled F-A-I-R-L-I-E, Fairlie Road, Slough, SL14PY. The telephone number is 0300 111 2233. The telephone number for Member Support Hub Mesh is 01273 391447. New members. Anyone who may be eligible to join Blind Veterans UK can phone our membership department on free phone 0800 389 7979. Rustington Centre telephone number is 01903 945 300. Llandudno Centre telephone number is 01492 868 700. The review editor telephone number is 0300 111 2233, or can be contacted at review editor, that's all one word, review editor@blindveterans.org.uk. Feedback. To give us feedback on any of our services, please email us at supporter.services@blindveterans.org.uk or telephone 0300 111 2233. Donations. To make a donation, simply call 0300 111 2233 or visit blindveterans.org.uk/donate. To listen to review on Alexa, the command is Alexa, ask TuneIn to play Blind Veterans UK Review. If you have any problems getting it to work, please contact the Mesh helpline on 01273 391 447. If you would like to receive your copy of Review in a different format, please contact your community support worker or Rovi for more information.